We're running a bit late, but you can blame Edward Snowden for that. Add it to the list of things to blame him for.
We should have got him on this panel.
I guess we should introduce people. You know, literally, true story, I forgot my badge, and I social engineered my way into the room. I said I was on a panel, and it worked. shall we start over there?
Hi, I'm Richard Cheshire, the Cheshire Catalyst.
Hey, everybody, my name's not Kevin. I've been doing this for a while. You might remember when I was about this tall doing this for the first time.
I'm Bernie S., and I'm new to this whole thing. I don't know what's going on.
I'm Emmanuel, and I'm just sort of stunned by this whole thing. You guys are awesome, and this is just so much fun and such a trip, and I can't wait till 2 years go by and we do something even better. I don't know how we're going to do something better, but we'll figure it out.
I'm Kyle, and I'm going to be helping out a little bit tonight with some of the calls we make and having fun.
Hey, just so you know, this is the guy that got us the 10 gig connection that we're using. Lots of people have been behind it. Lots of companies have helped out. Lots of volunteers. But he's the guy that had the vision. So
yeah, I can't take all the credit at all, but I really, really wanted this for all of us.
And it worked out really well for the keynote with the Snowden thing.
Use more bandwidth, people. Really. I mean, come on. This is embarrassing. Who are you?
I was just at Macy's 15 minutes ago, so all this stuff is really confusing for me. Fiber optic, how you doing?
There's a lot of history up here on this panel, really. A lot of familiar faces, and we can tell stories all night long. We'll tell us a couple of stories, I guess, but we can also play with the phone, too. I don't know which people prefer. Yeah, well, you know, I got to say, putting this together and organizing the whole Snowden thing and dealing with fire marshals and hotel bureaucracy, that's a nightmare. But the real nightmare is trying to figure out what to come up with here on this panel. It's so stressful. I got to think of something clever and it's got to work. But, you know, part of social engineering, a big part of social engineering are things that don't work because that's part of it. You try to get information from somebody and sometimes you get busted. And you have to learn how to react to that, how to respond when the jig is up. So I hope we get some success tonight and also some failure so we can sort of balance the two. But would anyone like to tell any social engineering stories to get us started? Well, maybe someone can define social engineering in less than 20 minutes. Someone here knows what it is. The hell are we doing up here?
Well, I'm going to tell a story that I was not involved in, but one of our speakers this year, my friend Mark Fahey from Sydney came. We had a lot of Australians here this year. Anyway, he's giving a talk about North Korea. He went into North Korea four times, visited all four provinces with concealed electronic equipment, just stuff that we can all buy, but like, you know, something that looks like a USB flash drive, but it's a radio receiver, that kind of thing. And he sucked down over the air, radio, TV broadcasts, two-way communications, and brought back a wealth of amazing stuff. You're going to just, your jaw's going to drop. But half of his talk is going to be about the social engineering he did to get in there and do this. So this has applications that, you know, could have saved his life. If he blew it, he could have been in a North Korean prison camp right now. So this is worth checking out. This is going to be like another social engineering talk tomorrow, how he did that. 4 o'clock tomorrow, right here.
I'm plotting and scheming, so you guys tell some stories while I get a couple of phone numbers.
How did I social engineer the 10 gig link? That's actually a really, really good question, and it is applicable, and I think it speaks to defining what social engineering is, because I think the foundation of what it is, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm an expert and I have like a academic definition, but I will say in my mind it is based on a foundation of establishing a rapport. And we do this all the time. And sometimes we do it in frustrated ways. If you've ever been pissed off about something and called customer, whatever they call it, and you want the charges to be changed on your bill or whatever that may be, if you're not in the right frame of mind, you might establish the wrong rapport. But in the same vein, you can establish a really good rapport, even if you are pissed off. But again, you know, your mood could foil that to some degree. So in my mind, I think of social engineering a lot as the kinds of relationships and the kinds of mood you communicate in your phone call, and that has a lot to do with intonation, the kinds of language you use, the dynamics of your voice, if you're speaking softly, all those little subtleties of that if you're a native speaker or even somebody who speaks many languages, you really have mastered. And it's also about empathy. And being able to listen, like to really hear someone, especially on a phone. I mean, I'm not speaking so much about in person. This applies to when you're face to face and those kinds of interactions. But especially on the phone, you really have to do good listening and listen for the subtleties of what the person is saying on the other end. So it is about how you use your voice, but also how you use your listening, and then you can direct all the things you've mastered with language to then communicate where you're headed, what kinds of things you want, or kind of how you want to direct them, using it as a form of control, I guess. Is that too sinister?
Well, you actually bring up an interesting point. Control, I think, is one of the most important words to think about and use when you're defining social engineering. In psychology, you have the idea of the inner and the outer self. And that's how your outer self is kind of based on your inner self, and that's how you project yourself into people. And social engineering, if you talk to a real social engineer, not me, because I'm just lying right now, I don't know what I'm talking about, they'll tell you that the real power behind social engineering is controlling that outer persona, using what you know internally, and that is how you subconsciously change the inflection of your voice. Didn't talk about over the phone, the ability for you to actually control the intonation and inflection actually can convey emotion, and that is how you can control a conversation. So when you start thinking about responding to what someone is saying, sometimes anger is the appropriate way, or sometimes very, very politeness, but it's about each word and how you say it, how you inflect upon it. You can actually start driving people to think about things in certain ways that they don't realize you're forcing them to do.
Right, you could be really like thrilled and communicate that you're angry, and then they may become empathetic to your situation, and thus they are kind of disarmed and become vulnerable to whatever you're really trying to get from them.
Should we give a dictionary definition?
Another person also defined it as method acting, because you're really taking on a persona that isn't you, and if you don't live that to the fullest T, I mean, if you're not walking in with business cards with that fake name on it, then you are not that persona. So you really have to go just full into this. And when you do that and you give yourself over to this other life, you really kind of have this second nature way of convincing people to do things they really, really shouldn't be doing.
If we could just give a formal definition of social engineering, it's a confidence scheme perpetrated most commonly over telephone, although not necessarily, in order to gain the trust of the target and get them to divulge information of value without knowing that they've divulged it. It's pretty simple.
That's way better than what I said.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, I got something here. I wrote down information before, but I forgot to write down the phone number. So I had to look that up.
Yeah,
it's not that easy to get. I figured maybe tonight we have sort of a couple of themes, revenge being one of them. I like revenge. We found out over the past year or so how much we've been spied upon. I figured maybe it's time to turn the tables a little bit and try to find out some information about the people who are spying on us, which, it's not that easy, obviously. We're going to have to take tiny steps, but maybe it'll be an inspiration for people to get more information. Finding out the phone number for the National Security Agency is no easy task. It's yeah, they don't really want you to know. And I'll show you what we found just by looking it up online. Can we get a dial tone here? Is there a dial tone? I hear a dial tone. Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Sounds so good.
I'm dialing the number, and please don't decode the number because it's a secret. It's NSA, for God's sake. Don't mess around. Okay, let's hear what they say. I don't think anyone's going to answer, but let's hear. Something will answer, don't worry. Transferred.
There is no answer from the person you called. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Thank you for calling the NSA Public Affairs Office. We're unable to take your call at this time, so please leave a message. If this is a media request, please call the Security Operations Center at 301-688-6911, and they will call a public affairs specialist. Or you can send an email to NSA, PAO, as in Public Affairs Office, at NSA.gov. Thank you.
Please dial the number of the person you're calling. If you have a mailbox on this system, please press pound.
Well, let's call a number. I mean, let's try zero. That's always a good number to try.
Please dial the number of the person you're calling.
Okay.
If you have a mailbox on this system, please press pound.
All right, I'll press pound. You want to hack the NSA? We'll do that. Sure. I'm going to hell anyway.
Please enter the mailbox number specified by your system manager.
What was that about a manager? What? Sorry. I...
2-3 is not a recognized mailbox. Please try again. Please re-enter your mailbox number.
So let's enter a 7-digit number, the number I just called.
688-6-5-2-4 is not a recognized mailbox. Please try again. Please re-enter
She's
your mailbox.
She's asking 6-5-1-1.
Trouble. Please try again later.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Okay, you heard her. Try again later. That's the number. If you, I'm gonna hang up now, so there's no horrible noise. If you look it up on the net, you'll get 301-688-6524 as the number, but it's mostly a public relations type number.
Corporate affairs.
Yeah, corporate affairs, bullshit like that. Gone are the days we just call and you get an operator, even at the NSA. So. What we would like to do is get a phone number or a name of somebody over there that we might be able to call. We don't expect this really to work, but we figured maybe we can use a little bit of confusion to get some information. Now, NSA is in a place called Fort Meade, Maryland. Wonderful place. And right next door to the NSA is an Army base. As if they don't have enough scary things, they have an Army base right next door. That's also known as Fort Meade. And I imagine people get mixed up sometimes. When we went through the Bradley Manning trial, that was in Fort Meade, wasn't that?
Yes.
Yeah, Fort Meade, the Army base. I was kind of shell-shocked. So what I figure is maybe somebody will pick up over there at the Army base, and then we can do something kind of confusing to make it seem like we're looking for the NSA without actually giving away the information that's what we're looking for. Have them help us. And I think, Kyle, I think you're going to try some... We're going to try out some voices here. We have... how many of you have seen the 2600 waste management shirts? You know, the ones with the collars? Okay, well, we sort of came up with a whole division of 2600 with warehouse staff and some guy named, what, Louis? Is that his name? Louis?
Yeah, Louis.
Kyle does a pretty good impression of Louis, how he sounds.
Well, I have to apologize to just anyone who's a native of the East Coast.
We're not sure where this...
Tri-state area and New York in general.
Where this accent is from.
I don't know
exactly
where this accent is from. I don't know what borough it would be. It's a little raspy, so this might be loud, but...
Cover your ears.
What do you want Louis to say?
Say it's Louis at Waste Management.
That is the name of a company, Waste Management.
2600 Waste Management.
Yeah, hello, this is Louie from 2600 Waste Management. I'm down here in shipping.
That's good enough, I think.
Something like that. Yeah, well, sure.
Can we tone it down a little bit so that it's not quite as funny to the people that pick up? I'm just worried that they might be laughing a lot.
Yes, Emmanuel.
No, that's Herbert from Family Guy. Carl's
no, it
voice.
Isn't. I just want to say hi to everybody. Hope X.
Popsicles. Trying to do a serious panel here.
No. Yeah, we got to tone it down because that's a little too funny, and it's like too much of a caricature.
Yeah, we don't. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to be somebody who's so funny sounding that they know it's that you're up. You want to try and sound maybe different than how you sound if you can do voices, or maybe exactly how you sound if they don't know who you are.
Yeah, hello. This is Louie from 2600 Waste Management.
Don't say that to them.
Oh.
Yeah. No. You're going to be somebody working at DHL, and here's the premise of this particular ruse. We are calling the Army base and hopefully reaching a person. We might have to hit some buttons to find a person. And we have a delivery of 13 pallets of a German energy drink that's going to... It's going to this place called National Security Incorporated. Get the name wrong a little bit because that makes it a little bit more believable. We have an address that's sort of right and sort of wrong, and that might encourage people to help you out a little bit and say, oh, you mean those guys over there? Here's their phone number. And I guess what we're going to try and do is try and get a contact name, contact number. Otherwise, it's got to go back to the port and be sent back overseas. You always put something kind of negative in there to make them want to help you. So let's prevent this bad thing from happening and help us out, and the NSA will be happy and hyped up on Club Monte. You good with this?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to do this.
It's the first time he's ever done this on stage, so...
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
All right, I'll do the darling, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm sorry, I said I called the NSA again. I'm just very familiar with that number.
Why?
No. There it is, okay. Bring it up. We didn't test this, by the way, so. Okay, this is an example of something not working. But what you do in a situation like that is you look up an alternative. So.
It's ringing.
Thank you. Okay, you know what? We'll come back to this. We're going to do some research. We have some other things to try. But sometimes this happens, especially late at night on a Saturday. But there's somebody there, and we'll try to find them. What, do you have the number? We're not just going to call random numbers. although that might be fun. Okay, I want to call something else. I'm going to cut this off. Good. Continuing the theme of revenge, because I'm kind of bitter about a lot of things. You may have heard of a company called Source Interlink. Have you? Yeah. Those are the distributors that decided to shut down and leave us in the hole for a large amount of money.
Ten enthusiasts?
Now it's called the... What they did was... This is really kind of funny. Source Interlink was the company. And they had two divisions in the same office, basically, the same address, same websites, everything. One was distribution, one was publishing. These guys publish Motor Trend magazine. They publish Stereophile. They publish dozens of magazines. And one day they decided, you know what, this isn't making money, the distribution of magazines, so we're just going to close the doors there and do all of our work from the other half of the office and not pay any of our bills to all the people that we owe money to. So I want to call that number, and you can hear for yourself what they say, how they explain this. We have a doctor? Okay. Can you bring this up?
Thank you for calling Source Interlink Distribution. If you know your party's extension, please dial it at any time. On May 29th, 2014, Source announced that it has discontinued its domestic and international book and magazine distribution operations as a result of its worsening financial condition and the cutoff by some of its major magazine suppliers. The manufacturing division and RDA aspects of the business remain open and thriving. Source is currently winding up its operations.
So they basically admitted right there that they're open and thriving in the other half that makes lots of money. So
transitioning to new wholesale accounts.
Kill this now. So basically they're getting away with this in a corporate way because they split their company in two halves, and one half is profitable, one half is not. But they basically shut down one, they go bankrupt on half of their corporation, and they are able to make profits with the other half without losing any kind of I don't exactly know how it works. I just know that it's immoral and it's wrong, and we're pretty pissed off by that. So I just thought maybe this would be a good exercise. Since they have so many profitable magazines like Motor Trend, another one is Stereophile, we're going to call a bookstore in the West Coast and see if we can perhaps influence their publications as they have influenced our publication. Let's try.
Barnes & Noble. We're open 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. every day. Join us for Get Pop Culture with Barnes & Noble, a nationwide celebration of popular entertainment, including Batman Day and Frozen Friday. Come into the store or ask any book.
What happened? I didn't touch anything.
Maybe they hung up on you.
No, I hear music.
Noble, this is Carol. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Randy from Source Interlink. Can I speak to somebody in magazines, please?
Let me get you the manager. Hold on.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid when you get the manager, because you can get all kinds of information and they can help you.
Thank you for holding. This is Jeanette. How may I help you?
Hi, this is Randy from Source Interlink. We are checking on a couple of publications of ours because we need to change the off-shelf date. All right. You currently carry our publications, Motor Trend and Stereophile?
Yes, I believe we do.
All right. Do you have any of the current stock info for Motor Trend? We're looking to find out how many copies.
Well, we received it around June 27th. We received 12 copies.
Okay. How many are still on the stands? Can you tell?
No, it doesn't give us a...
All right, here's the thing. We may be needing to take that off the shelves for a replacement issue. And who would we speak to if we need to take those off the shelves, say, on Monday?
Oh, yes. I'll tell you what. Monday, our newsstand lead will be here. His name is Joseph.
Okay.
Martinez. Call him. He's in charge of the newsstand.
Okay. What would we need to tell him to get him to basically remove those so that we can send the replacement one? Because you may have heard we're doing reorganizing at Source Interlink.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
You've heard that?
I believe as soon as... Do you want them up there until the new one gets here? That's usually how he'll replace it, unless it scans for return.
Yeah. In this particular case, we would want it taken off the shelves because the next issue would be coming. We wouldn't want two at the same time.
Right. Well, yeah, we never do that. As soon as the new one gets here, we remove the old one.
Yeah, and this was not the normal schedule. Since we've done the reorganizing, we've had to change the publication schedule.
You want me to remove it now? I can do that.
You know what? Let's not do it right now. We're going to call on Monday, but I just wanted to make sure we were talking to the right people.
Yes, Monday, he's usually here about 8 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
And his name's Joe.
Okay, and you also, I'm sorry, do you also have Stereophile?
Let me find out.
Thank you.
I usually have Out Magazine, so I knew we had Motor Trend, but I'm pretty sure we have Stereophile as well.
Okay, are they selling well, just out of curiosity?
Oh, yes.
I thought so. They
two of our biggest sellers are, Transportation, which I always go, gosh, why do we have so many of these books?
Uh-huh.
Like magazines. And he's like, because it sells.
Wow, that's amazing.
And music. Let's see. Now, this one, we don't get in too many. We only get, like, three.
Of Stereophile?
Yeah.
I see. Let me ask you one other thing. You carry a magazine called 2600. It's the number 2600.
The Hacker Quarterly?
That's the one, yeah.
Yes, we do.
And how many of those are you getting?
15.
Okay, is that selling well?
Oh, it is.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Does that sell pretty well?
Oh, that's all I need to know. I was like, okay. I'm not sure on that one, to be honest.
Okay.
That's one thing I wish they could fix on our Bookmaster, is as we sell them, keep kind of a running track.
Yeah, that would be very handy.
That would be really nice. Because right now, it's all the information we get is title, when we receive it, and how many.
I see. Basically. Yeah. You have one of those old systems from the 90s that we use something similar.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Hey, you're welcome. You have a great evening.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You may wonder why I didn't just wipe out their entire stock right now. Because, boy, I sure felt like it. We do business at Barnes & Noble, too. We don't want to screw them, and they would be screwed. And she was so friendly. But you could see she was giving me way more information than she should have. I could have kept going. I mean, I could have been on the phone for 45 minutes with her and getting all kinds of information. It's what happens when you're friendly. And apparently having a loudspeaker sound to your voice doesn't really influence that. But, you could always say you're on literally speakerphone, and maybe you can get away with that.
Let's just get this from a friend.
Is this the NSA? I don't even know what this is.
The NSA Cyber Command.
Oh,
the Cyber Command?
Cyber.
You know what? Okay. You realize people just handing us phone numbers. This could be someone's grandmother,
Should we ask Cyber Command how many people they sent to help?
30 at night. What do you think, Kyle?
NSA Cyber.
Well, can Louis handle this? Can Louis...
Louis's in the truck.
Louis... Wait. Oh, you're right. Louis is the driver.
Louis's out. He's going to be out on delivery for Monday. Okay.
Yeah, get your
story straight. Monday, Louis is going to be out. All right. So, this is Doug from DHL Freight Services. No, that sounds too nervous.
Okay. See, Louis is the guy we named at the 2600 warehouse, but we've made Louis the driver because it sounds better. Louis the driver.
Too much of a caricature.
We want to keep the voice, so we're going to be Doug from DHL, right?
Yes.
Because they're the ones delivering all the Club Mate to NSA. All right, so I guess the story here is you'll be calling on behalf of the driver who was looking all day for this place, and he can deliver it first thing Monday if we get a contact over there.
Okay, but if it's NSA Cyber, whatever, these guys are going to be like, they'll have no idea where a loading dock or shipping or anything is, so they're probably going to refer me, right?
I hope so, or they'll kill you, one of those two things. You never know. You never know in social engineering what the ramifications will be.
All right, let's do it.
I'll do my part. I'll dial the phone.
Great, yeah, and then I'll just be...
Godspeed.
This is Doug
with DHL Freight Services. I've got a delivery out here for Monday. 13 pallets going to National Security Incorporated.
Did the NSA just hang up on you? What the fuck? They like to listen. They like to listen to phone calls. They don't hang up on you. He could hear you, right? You were pressing the button.
You're watching this.
Oh, I have to press the button?
Oh, my God. He didn't press the button.
Wait, I thought that was the mute.
You just prank called the NSA. There's probably a team on the elevator now, but it'll take them an hour to get up here, so don't worry. All right, we're going to do it again.
Okay.
Say, and make this part of it. Apologize for your phone is fucked up or something. I don't know. I'll dial the number. You got to press this.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I should have told you that.
Can you hear me now?
Well, we know someone's there, right?
Yeah, hello, this is Doug with DHL Freight Services. I just called, I think I got hung up on, I didn't realize I was muted, but trying to get a hold of somebody for, a loading dock. I don't have the right address. I'm looking, National Security Incorporated is where I'm going with this. I got Louie coming on Monday, and he's got 13 pallets. So I need to basically schedule this as soon as possible, and I just want to know who to contact for delivery. I got the address here, too, so.
What number are you trying to call?
Let's see. I've got the 654-889 number.
Yeah,
443? Yeah, it's in 443, and I'm pretty sure, I was given this by my manager for freight and logistics. I guess I'm looking for loading or will call.
I don't think you have the right number. I'm not sure who gave you this number or this address or that address. Where are you trying to get to?
Okay, yeah, maybe you. I don't know if you have an address list there. I don't the shipping department, I guess. I don't know if you could refer me, but the address is 9701, O'Brien Road, Route 32. Yeah, Route 32, Maryland.
I think you have the wrong phone number associated with your delivery address.
Okay, can you refer? Do you have any information on who handles shipping and receiving?
Who are you trying to? Do you know what company you're trying to get a hold of?
Yeah, it's it's National Security Incorp. Yeah, Inc.
National Security Inc. Hold on a second. Yeah, I would try this phone number, 3016.
Okay, cool. Could you just repeat the number? Because, I got to get the contact for receiving. This thing's got to go out first thing Monday, or it's got to go back to the port. Like I said, it's 13 pallets. I don't want to have to go back, so I need receiving info. So can you just repeat it? I'm going to write it down.
Sure.
I didn't get that.
301?
Yep.
65.
Got it.
Okay.
You dial the number on Fort Meade. I definitely don't know what you're talking about. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. And your name again, just in case, just for reference.
Joe Walchko.
All right. Cool. Thanks, Joe.
All right.
That took some balls. I mean, calling something NSA cyber, and as you can see, Kyle established a rapport with this guy. He went and tried. He's perplexed. He doesn't know why someone's calling his phone number on Saturday night, but he was able to get a contact information. We had to turn it down for legal purposes and for survival purposes. But we got a number, right area code, right exchange, it looks like, and so we have a contact info. Kyle has contact info, and first thing Monday he'll call that person, and we'll continue the ruse, and who knows? They'll get called Monday yet.
I'm sorry I didn't do the voice quite so well. I think just going a little lower octave, that helps a little.
But it works. You didn't lose your cool. That's important.
Yeah, I don't want to come off too raspy. You know, National Security Incorporated, we're real busy. I'm trying to get this out Monday. I got 5 other pallets going to Cincinnati, okay?
If you put on an accent or change your sex or do all kinds of things, you'll have really interesting results. People will treat you differently and sometimes give you a lot more information than they would give if you just used your normal voice.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it can be a lot of fun.
Yes. This is fun. I'm keeping this number, by the way. Thank you. For future projects. Anyone else have any stories or adventures they'd like to trade? Or we rest?
Favorite phone numbers?
All the shipping numbers.
They're not open now, that's the whole point.
They want one.
Really cool. Maybe if someone reported a security incident to Cyber Command, like they stumbled across some sort of conversation between Edward Snowden and a bunch of hackers. I mean, that's got to be... That's a serious risk. National security.
You notice how the guy didn't volunteer National Security Agency when Kyle said National Security Incorporated. I thought that was interesting.
No, he didn't want to clarify or clear that up. I'm also really interested in what he actually said when he answered both times.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
There was something like just basically classification. I don't know, some kind of code. It was interesting. That'll be interesting to listen back to.
Yeah. We'll study
that. That sounds right. Yeah, we'll listen to it.
Well, department on, like 18 number. People on the panel here.
Okay.
Must be something else you guys, sort of something of the past? But.
Well, there was one time I was out on the West Coast. I was living in New York City at the time, but went out for a West Coast computer fair and stopped in the sleepy little town of Santa Paula, California. Very small town, 2 stoplights, a Gulf gasoline station, and a ComSat General Earth Station. This Earth station communicated with the Pacific satellite of the Marisat system, the Maritime Communication Satellite. It was eventually internationalized, and it's now Inmarsat. But back in those days, it was pretty experimental. And one of the things I was doing at the time, besides working at a computer store here in Manhattan, was writing for a new magazine called ROM, Read Only Magazine, which is being published by the fellow who was the Science Day editor at the New York Times at the time. Eric Sandberg done it. So I called up the Earth Station and said, hi, I'm Ozzy, and I'm an editor with this new ROM magazine, and I'd like to come visit your Earth Station. Oh, well, unfortunately, the station manager is out of town this week, but I'm the station engineer, and I'd be happy to show you around. Drive out there with my girlfriend, and start getting a tour. I walk in my T-shirt, which I got from RCA Global Communications, one of the carriers on the Marisat, and it says, I'm an international operator, and in small print, via RCA. So we go in, we talk to the ladies who are the telephone operators. And, you know, we just can't understand why these fellows on the ships have us place all these phone calls for them, because they could just dial directly themselves. And I kind of explained it to them, because I'd been on a ship, so that means I kind of had it over on them. I'd been there and they hadn't. But I visited my buddy Antonio on the Italica. You have to understand that at the time I was hacking the Twix teletype network. AT&T said it was totally separate from the telephone network, but I found if you dialed 212-640 plus the last 4 digits of a Twix number, 110 baud, half duplex, handset in the acoustic coupler, and my little ADM3 is now a Twix terminal. So I would chat with these guys. Hi, this is Ozzy, a computer hacker in New York City. Does anyone have time to sit and chat? Well, I'm reaching a ship's radio operator, hundreds of miles at sea, absolutely nothing to do but sit and chat, especially on someone else's nickel. So I'm explaining to the ladies at the Earth Station how my buddy Antonio has to sit there with the ear cans, listening to Morse code from Rome, typing into a stencil master at the time, if anybody old enough remembers those back in the day, and then crank the handle and run off a daily newspaper for the crew, run messages up and down the letters to the captain on the bridge, and now you folks want him to learn all these new computer codes to operate your Marisat satellite. Ladies, any work that can slough off on somebody else, you're going to see it. So after explaining this little story, I turned to my host, who's looking at me with this whole new look of respect because I've been on a ship and he hasn't. And we wander out of the room into the corridor where there's the company bulletin board. Now, standard stuff, the company picnic coming up, the softball league, message from Washington, unauthorized access of Mirasat Network - Aussie. Well, and the message says that if this Aussie character comes up on your ship's terminal inside the switching office, to hit the figs D, which would trip the answer back in his teletype. Well, of course, mine was not a standard teletype and didn't have a programmed answer back. So if it did hit figs D, if it was on my teletype at the time, it would just spin an unprogrammed answer back wheel. If it was on the glass teletype, the ADM3, I wouldn't even know that they hit that. But it was somewhat embarrassing, and he kind of realized that he might have had the Aussie there with him. And but, you know, I simply explained to them exactly how I got into the network, you know, through this AT&T thing. I was eventually invited to come with them to the 60 Hudson Street switching office when they were going to install a new box to convert Vaudo to ASCII. And I met the engineers in the lobby of the building. We went up to a dank, dingy, dusty wire room, and they put in the box, they attached the wires, and then we just sat and, you know, chatted. And after about 20 minutes or so, I look at my watch and get, it's getting around lunchtime. Guys, why are we sitting in this dank, dingy wire room when we could be downstairs at that cafe across the street with a beer in our hands? Oh, well, we got to wait until the Western Union techsmen test out the line. Haven't you understood a single thing I said? Give me that phone. 640-592-0122. Okay, I've got, I hear it ringing. Yeah, we're showing ring indication on the modem here. Yeah, it looks like it picked up. Yeah, it's showing off hook. And I'm hearing a tone, so I'll hit 6 and 9 on the touch tone dial, so it'll think I'm giving a modem tone back. And I'm hearing an answer back come through. And yeah, it's showing it. Guys, it's working. Let's go to the bar.
You can basically do almost anything if you're just persistent. That story kind of reminds me of when a friend of mine wanted to see a central office. I think it was Ronkonkoma, New York, and knocked on the door with me and said, hey, can we get a tour? And the guy said, no, sorry, you can't get a tour. And he basically said, oh, okay, that's all right. Can we just have a look around then? And we were there for an hour having a look around instead of a tour, and it was great. You know, you just never give up, you know. That's how you get Edward Snowden at your conference. You never give up. And that's how you get 10 gig. Any quick questions? Because we really have to be out of here in a couple of minutes. The Aaron Schwartz movie is coming up, and we're way behind schedule. I got up to the microphone. Is there a microphone there? I can't even see anything with the microphone. Oh, there's no microphone. Yeah, please go to the microphone if there is one. It's not hard. Yeah, I see it now.
Just a suggestion. Call the Russian embassy. Call the Russian embassy and ask for Jack Bauer.
Yeah. They're still mad at him, even though he's a fictional character, but there's all kinds of fun you can have. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have a quick question. I was recently on a web application pen test, and I realized I need to get some data, so I called the power company to try to get some information out of the customer service people, and I quickly realized I don't have a southern accent. So I faked it as best I could, and I got good results, but what do you guys know of, or what resources do you guys use to learn different colloquialisms and accents that might aid in future events like this?
Excuse me, this is Vlada. I'm looking for Jack Bauer. Are you an officer at this building?
Wow. Well, I think a lot of it comes from media, but also traveling and...
Yeah, son, you need to travel more.
Yeah, you come down to the South, they'll treat you real nice. I don't know. I'm bad as I haven't actually been to the South.
People...
Oh, cool. You're talking about you found a CD or something published where you can go through and listen to different accents. I think of, like, My Fair Lady, like, Liza Doolittle. I mean, there's a lot of practice. I think mostly, like, messing around and, having fun. But, like, listening a lot and trying to repeat stuff you hear. And as I said, like, either from media or from travel or just shooting the shit. Yeah, YouTube, too.
Listening to foreign, watching foreign movies and things like that. I know a lot of people in the Netherlands, they don't dub movies there. They subtitle them so they hear the language and they pick it up. And if we did the same thing with foreign languages, we'd pick it up pretty well too. We pick up accents and dialogues and things like that. So it's something worth exercising. One last question, then we're out of here.
Yeah, sure. And I think when you're playing with an accent, you figure out how to shape your face so that you speak like that and the way you want to talk, eh?
Yes.
Was that the only example? Just A? I was hoping to give a bigger demonstration. No? Go ahead.
We haven't heard anything from Bernie S. We haven't heard anything from Bernie S. Any good prison social engineering stories you want to share?
I think I've told them all here. It's just it's been a long time.
We're starting the film in an hour.
I think I've told them all. I'm sorry.
Not to this crowd, you haven't. Tell a tiny story.
Well, you know, that's not one I did, but...
You beamed him in the head.
Okay. Well, yeah, there was one. Maybe I didn't tell this one.
To this day, they're looking for you.
How did it work? It was a day before I was going to be transferred to another prison. They were giving me a tour, you know? And I had a typewriter in my cell because the organized crime guys needed me to type stuff up. I don't know where they got this typewriter, but they gave me this typewriter. And the guards was invisible to them. I don't know why they couldn't see it, but it was some fix was in. So I had a typewriter, and I even had one of the guys get me some prison stationery because they were helpful and for things I was trying to. I was helping them; they were helping me. Anyway, I wanted to pull a joke on the administration before I left, I wrote up a memo to all the prisoners about the new conjugal visit policy, and I clued everybody in that this was a joke, so don't take it seriously. But the prison administration was not in on the joke, and. It was pretty well written in Bureau of Prisons terminology, and I could go into. I don't have time to go into the whole memo, but basically, they got about 20 or 30 applications on the warden's desk the next Monday morning, as I was leaving for conjugal visit passes, and the warden demanded to know where did all these come from, what was the story, and. I was over at the next prison by then, and they never figured out who it was. But it was a.
Until now.
Yeah, I think the statute of limitations has expired on that one.
Not in their minds, it hasn't. All right, folks, it's been great. Stay here for the movie; it's going to be amazing. Guys, please support the DVDs because that's what makes our archiving possible.